Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Hello, everyone. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and it's my great honor, joy, and privilege to welcome you to worship at First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. We're so glad that you decided to make this your spiritual home this Sunday morning. If you've been with us for a long time, we're so grateful that you are with us as well. If you have a moment, we'd love to invite you to share this worship service with other people, either through Facebook or Twitter or social media. We hope that this service is an inspiration for you, and you never know if there might be somebody that needs to hear the message that we share today. As we gather for worship this day, we're a congregation that seeks out ways to know God, love God, and serve God, and we hope that this service is a blessing for you as we gather for worship. This morning, we'll have music that's led by Eric and Mike and Susan, and we're excited to hear a message from Reverend Lindsay Hall. We hope that it's a blessing to you as we gather for worship this day. Amen.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Dear Lord and giver of life, in our sin, you offer us mercy. Help us to be merciful to others. You hold us up when we fall. Help us to lift the fallen. You offer us love even when we have rejected you. Help us to offer love to those who have been rejected by society. Give us strength to show the compassion of Jesus in our world. Amen.
Hi, everyone. My name is Bailey. I am the Children and Student Ministries Director for First United Methodist Church, and I'm here today to share with you the Young Christians Moment. This is for our younger ones, but also for anyone who is young at heart, which would be all of us. This is my last Sunday as the Children and Student Ministries Director, but I'm glad that I'm able to share this last Sunday with you, this last Young Christians Moment with you, and I look forward to seeing what the church continues to do in the future. But today we're talking about a very serious topic, a topic that is very close to my heart as the Children's Student Ministries Director, as someone who works with students and has worked with students for so long. This is very, very close to my heart. So we're talking about injustice. The story from the Bible today is about a man who was left on the side of the road, injured and hurt. And the person who ultimately helps him is the last person that you would expect. The Samaritans were people that weren't liked at all. No one liked Samaritans. They all thought that they were bad people. Everyone in the Bible thought Samaritans were bad people. But the Samaritan is the one that stops. The Samaritan is the one who pauses and helps this man. Not only helps him, gives him money, sets him up in a little inn with someone who will take care of him, who will provide him food, wraps his bandages around his wounds. This man really goes out of his way to help a random stranger. And it's the last person you'd expect. But we're talking about injustice today, right? We're talking about the way that people have overlooked the things that are wrong and bad in the world for so long. It hurts my heart, and I hope that it hurts your heart too. I chose this background today, our little library that we have in the church that I have loved getting to read some of these books and share them with our youngest students and our story times with myself and Pastor Lindsay. But I chose this because I believe that one of the ways that we're going to move past letting this injustice happen in the world is by educating ourselves. And what better way to educate yourself than to read, right? To read books by people that you might not meet in your everyday life, to read diverse books, to read books about experiences that are different from yours. When I was in school, when I was in fifth grade, we read a book, and it was about a family who makes tamales at Christmas. And for those of you who don't know, I'm Mexican. I know I look very white, but I am actually Mexican on my mom's side of the family. So we make tamales every Christmas. And I remember how excited I was that in fifth grade, we read this story about this family who made tamales. And I thought that it was the coolest thing ever, but someone else in my class actually didn't think it was that cool. They actually said some pretty not nice things about it. And that kind of hurt, right? Because I didn't really realize that every family didn't make tamales at Christmas. I was in fifth grade. I didn't have that kind of self-awareness. I didn't realize that other families didn't make these foods that my family made because it was a Mexican food. And it kind of hurt that somebody was, instead of excited to learn about this tradition that my family has, instead of being excited, that they thought it was weird, that they asked why anyone would do that. You know, that kind of hurt me. So I would just encourage you to branch out, to widen your perspective, to read books by different people, to read books about different traditions, and to enjoy it, and to have an open mind about it. I firmly believe that that is one of the best ways that we have of moving past injustice, that and seeing people. So when you see a difference, instead of seeing a difference and running away from it or ignoring it or pretending it's not there, instead of doing that, try to celebrate it. Try to celebrate those differences between ourselves and others, because that is what will warm our hearts, right? Instead of hurting our hearts, that will warm our hearts. Try something new. Try something culturally different from you. Embrace expanding your horizons. Be the person who stops and helps instead of walking by, looking down, and ignoring. Be the person who stops and helps. That's what I would encourage all of you to do. Let's pray together. God, help us to have the bravery to be the person who stops and helps. God, help us to expand our horizons and to learn new things, to read different books, to learn about other cultures with an open mind, God. God, help us to confront the things that are wrong in this world. Help us to have the bravery, the boldness that comes from you to stand up when things aren't right and when we know they aren't right. Help us to tear down the prejudice that makes us feel like we're different, and help us to see that each and every one of us was created individually by you, God, our Father. It's in your Son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I wish you all the best, and I will continue to pray for every single one of you going forward. Bye, everyone.
Please join me in an attitude of prayer. O holy and loving God, as we gather on this day of worship, as we turn to the gospel message, we pray that it may speak to us, that we may hear you in these words of scripture, that you might have something you'd like to say to us today. O God of love and grace and peace and reconciliation, we know that you are present with us. So fill us with your love, giving us ears to hear, and eyes to see, and hands to serve, and a heart to give. May your Holy Spirit be with us in this time of worship, that in hearing the gospel we may live it out in the world. And then, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing in your sight, you God, who are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Let us turn now to the gospel, to Luke's gospel, chapter 10. I'm going to be reading verses 25 through 37. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What's written in the law?" Jesus replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, with all of your strength and all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You've answered correctly," Jesus said. "Do this and you will live." But then, wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said this parable. In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by to the other side. So too a Levite. When he came to the place, he saw him, and he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled there, he came to the man where he was. He saw him, he took pity on him, and he went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey. He brought him to an inn to take care of him. And the next day he took out two denarii, two coins, gave it to the innkeeper, and he said, 'Look after him. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses that you have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert of the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for this scripture passage this day. A quick story here. When our daughter Lydia was just one, she loved music. Our daughter is now three, and oh gosh, she loves music. She loves to dance. And when she was one, one of her favorite songs was "Wheels on the Bus." You know that song. You probably sang it to a child in Sunday school, or sang it to a child at home, or maybe one of your grandkids. You know how it goes. The wheels on the bus go round and round, round and round, round and round. The wheels on the bus go round and round, all through the town. The song continues. The wipers on the bus go swish, swish, swish. The horn on the bus goes beep, beep, beep. You know, the doors on the bus go open and close, and so on and so forth. It's one of those great classic childhood songs that we teach our children when they're learning nursery rhymes and learning to clap and sing and dance to bring some joy. Well, the winter that Lydia was one, John and I took our kids to a museum in Detroit, and as we walked through the exhibits, we came across a bus. Right away, Lydia was interested, and she started clapping her hands. She wanted to sing along to her favorite song, "Wheels on the Bus." She could tell that she was filled with joy. Well, unique to this exhibit, we could actually board the bus and go inside. And as I entered the doors of the bus, carrying Lydia in my hand, a docent who was a volunteer at the museum, she called her attention to seat number 4 on the passenger side of the bus. And as I stood inside that 1950s bus that had been beautifully restored in pristine condition, the docent explained that we were aboard a bus that changed history. It was the bus that Rosa Parks was riding when she refused to give up her seat to a white man on December 1st of 1955. Do you know Rosa Parks' story? She was a civil rights activist. She worked for social change. But she was not the first African American to refuse her seat to a white person, but she was the justice seeker who sparked the Montgomery bus boycott of 1955, and it lasted over a year as the resistance against racial segregation pressed on. Tomorrow, we're going to celebrate and remember another activist, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., an American Baptist minister, a civil rights activist, Dr. King, he led the way for social change. And his method? His method was nonviolence, civil disobedience in the pursuit of justice, first with his involvement in the Montgomery bus boycott and then in his involvement on the March on Washington in 1963. From the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, he brought voice to those whose voices were being silenced, proclaiming, "I have a dream," in his great "I have a dream" speech. From sitting in buses to peacefully protesting on Washington to speaking out against evil and injustice, Dr. King, he worked for change. He was a change maker. He loved his neighbor. He lifted up the oppressed. He lived the life that Micah 6:8 calls us to. That scripture from Micah 6:8 says, "What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God." Love put into action while naming and calling out injustice is the only way to make change, and Dr. King was a change maker. When you look around the world today, when you look at our nation, when you look at our world, when we look at our community, when you look at our United Methodist Church worldwide, what change do you see that's needed? Do you see a need for racial justice? I do. Do you see a need for a more inclusive understanding of a church that welcomes all people regardless of sexual orientation or gender expression? I do. Do you see a need for us to be accountable to our actions and the ways in which we have harmed others? I do. When I look at the world around us, I see a need for repentance and forgiveness and healing and wholeness. I see a need for us to love our neighbor and to do better and to more fully follow in the way of Jesus Christ. When you look at the world, what do you see? What do you long for? What do you hope for? What do you pray for? My soul longs for us to consider the Good Samaritan parable that I read earlier. My soul longs for us to consider this parable and to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. So let's turn our attention to that gospel. To the gospel where we hear from Luke's gospel, the Good Samaritan story. Let's think about this story. In this Good Samaritan story, it's a parable of a man. He encounters robbers. He's beaten. He's left half dead on the side of the road. And first, a priest walks by but doesn't stop to help. Then a Levite, he comes by but he also doesn't stop to help. And finally, a Samaritan walks by. He has compassion on the injured man. He takes him to an inn where he can rest and where he can heal. And then the Samaritan, he generously gives of his very own money to pay the innkeeper for housing and health care. From this scripture, we witness the Good Samaritan leading the way for change in this world through one loving action at a time. He loved God. And he loved his neighbor as himself. And Jesus seeks us and asks us and challenges us to do likewise. Not just to give lip service to what we believe, but to put our faith into action and into practice. We too are called to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves and make that visible and real and tangible in the world. It's a lot of hard work, no doubt. It's much easier to walk on by like the priest or the Levite. It's much easier to walk by than stop and help like the Samaritan. It's easier to come up with excuses and reasons. Lists, really, of why we aren't able to stop and why we aren't able to help. But that's not what God asks of us. God asks us to love our neighbor, including those who are different than us, who have a different cultural background, who have a different skin tone than us, who have a different race than us, who speak a different language than us, who practice a different language than us. Loving our neighbor presses us to go beyond socially constructed boundaries in pursuit of God's justice flowing freely and God's grace ever present without us trying to put it into boxes or boundaries or barriers. And loving our neighbor, we know it takes on so many different forms and shapes and sizes. It means physically loving the neighbor right next door or in your subdivision. But it also means loving our neighbor across town and around the world. And it means finding ways to care for each other, going grocery shopping for your older neighbor who can't get out and bringing them sacks of groceries. It means being a listening, loving presence. It means caring for one another. Loving our neighbor means advocating for those whose voices are being silenced, whose rights are being denied. Loving our neighbor is about walking in the way of Christ and giving of our time and our talents and our resources and our treasures to make God's love more visible and evident in this world in ways that we can step back and marvel at God's beauty and God's grace and God's light. Part of loving our neighbor means working for social change, to be social justice seekers like Rosa Parks, who refused to move in the face of injustice. And we're to be willing to dream of a future that God has for us and be willing to then take action to make that happen. To dream of God's kingdom here on earth and make that visible in real ways. The call to love our neighbor isn't easy. It's hard work. To love our neighbor, to love the oppressed, marginalized, often forgotten neighbor. That was the foundation of Dr. King's ministry, and he dreamed of it. He dreamed of this future when he wrote, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation when they're not judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." What a dream. What dreams do you have? And how are you pursuing that dream? Dr. King's dream is something that we need to see come true. But right now it is so hard to dream because if I'm honest, it feels like we're living in a nightmare. Dreams are wonderful, but nightmares are terrifying, and I quickly want to wake from this nightmare that it feels like we're living in, and I want to forget that it's ever happening. But some nightmares we can't forget. Some nightmares we must learn from. Some nightmares teach us lessons. This past week, I found myself lacking a lot of words. Preachers, we're never supposed to be shy on words. We're supposed to know what to say in a moment's notice. Preach, pray, and on a moment's notice. But this past week, I found myself particularly at a lack of words, particularly on January 6th. We know the day. We witnessed it on the news. We turned to social media, jumping to Facebook and Twitter. And we turned on the news to CNN and NPR and ABC and Fox or whatever your favorite preferred news channel might be. And we watched as historic events took place there on January 6th. It's a Wednesday we'll never forget. Nightmarish events. Events that caught us off guard, that left us speechless, that filled us with emotion, that made me angry. January 6th. We watched as rioters made their way towards the nation's capital, storming the capital, proceeding past boundaries and barriers, breaking windows if they needed to enter, filling the halls of the capital. They were not welcomed visitors. They were rioters causing harm in their path and fear in their trail and violence as they proceeded. And when all was said and done, Blood had been shed and destruction had taken place. And as I watched on the news, I thought to myself, we're living in a nightmare because this can't be real. How have we become so politically divided that things have come to this? Where is the ability for us to live in peace with one another? Where has that ability gone? How has our respect for our fellow human beings just vanished? Why is violence and destruction so easy to act upon? Wednesday evening, January 6th, I found myself thinking that we were living in a nightmare. And from this nightmare, I'm choosing to wake up. I'm choosing to wake up. I'm choosing to wake up and be way more aware of my own white privilege and how I am a part of it. And I'm wanting to rise from my slumber and see that there is lots of work to be done. Maybe you're longing to wake up too. Maybe it's been a wake-up call to all of us. Mark Miller is a United Methodist worship leader, a composer, a deep person of faith, a justice seeker, a prophet. Mark Miller writes many songs, composes many songs, and one of his songs spoke to me this past week when I was at a loss of words. His song is entitled, God Has Work For Us To Do. It goes like this. Till all the jails are empty, and all the bellies filled, till no one hurts or steals or lies, and no more blood is shed. God has work for us to do. God has work for us to do, till God's will is done and all things are made new. God has work for us to do. Till all the jails are empty and all the bellies filled. Till no one hurts or steals or lies and no more blood is shed. God has work for us to do. God has work for us to do. Till God's will is done and all things are made new. God has work for us to do, church. I pray that you're going to join me in all of the work that needs to be done. I pray that you will join me in seeking to love our neighbor and love God more fully. I pray that you'll join me in seeking peace and working for justice and humbly working with our loving our God, walking with our God. I pray that you'll join me in living out Micah 6:8. I pray that you'll join me in reaffirming our United Methodist baptismal vows. Those vows to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. And so I would invite you today, I would invite you to think about these questions that I'm going to lift up to you, part of our baptismal vows, and if you're ready, then I would invite you to reaffirm your vows. So church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness? Reject the evil powers of this world and repent of your sin. If so, please say, I do. I do. Do you accept the freedom and the power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, oppression, in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, please say, I do. I do as well. As Rosa Parks and Dr. King led the movements in the 1950s and the 60s, we're called to continue the movement today. The movement of loving our neighbor, the movement of calling out racism in our world, the movement of creating a church where all are welcomed and accepted, the movement of working towards peace and healing in a politically divided country, the movement of forgiving those who have hurt us and offering a genuine apology in times that we have wronged others, turning around and seeking to do better and following in the way of Christ. Will you join the movement? It's hard. the movement of seeking justice, the movement of loving your neighbor, the movement of putting your faith into action, the movement of acting justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly with God. That movement, will you join that movement, church? It's hard work. But it's a great movement to join, because it's the way in which Jesus Christ calls us to live. At 3 a.m., if you find yourself wide awake and worried, may it motivate you to work for justice and peace like Dr. King and Parks. Perhaps the next time you see a bus around town, it'll remind you of our call to love our neighbor. And I think that as my daughter Lydia grows, I think there's another verse to Wheels on the Bus that I need to teach her. The way of love is justice and peace, justice and peace, justice and peace. The way of love is justice and peace all through the world. Amen. Let's pray. O Holy One, you call us to ways of peace, to loving thy neighbor. May we follow faithfully in your footsteps. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, and what a week to be focusing on injustice and the issues of our times that keep us up at night. I, for one, am thankful for this sermon series to remind me that when the events of the day or the sleeplessness of my nights become too much to bear, I should turn to God. I encourage you right now to shift your position, to adjust your posture, make some change in your body so that your mind and your body are ready to pray as we open our hearts to the Lord. Will you pray with me? Almighty and loving God, in the light of this day, we turn to you in prayer. We offer thanks and gratitude for the glimpses of sunshine, for the smile of a friend, for the wave of a stranger, or the giggle of a child. We are thankful that we have the freedom to worship and praise you openly. Thank you for the opportunities to live out your commandments, to love one another. Each day brings new ways we can reflect your love to your children and new challenges. We yearn to follow your ways, but we often fall short. Lord, help us, we pray, as we seek to act justly, to align ourselves with your mercy. Show us, Lord, how to walk humbly with you. May our feet be strong for walking along the rocky, uneven path ahead. Protect our bodies from the elements and the dangers that threaten us. May your path be known to us. May our pride be cast aside so that we can lean on your ways and your understanding. Lord, hear our prayer. We lift up prayers for those who are suffering or grieving. Ease their burdens and tend to their needs. Like a warm blanket, wrap them and their caregivers and loved ones in your comfort and healing love. We lift up those who are feeling isolated or worried. Help them to connect with your mercy and hope. We lift up those who are worn out or just feeling depleted from the pressures of the pandemic. Renew their spirits and refresh their souls. We lift up our brothers and sisters who are struggling unjustly due to racist policies and unfair practices. Help each one of us to see where we can create equity and give voice to the voiceless. And Lord, we call on your divine healing for our country, where it seems people would rather shout than listen. Help shine light on your truth and give us the capacity to love our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. With one voice, together and outstretched hands, let's join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
There are so many ways to respond to God's word in our midst, and one of them is by giving of your time and talent, as many of the individuals who are part of our Prayer Quilt ministry have done over the course of our entire journey through COVID over the last year. There have been individuals who have picked up materials to quilt and to take those materials home and make beautiful creations like this one. This particular prayer quilt will be going to one of our own members here at the church, so I invite you to join me now in this time of prayer. Gracious and loving God, may this quilt be a blessing to her family. May it surround her with the love and the warmth that this congregation and your Holy Spirit alone can provide. May she know that you are holding her in the palm of your hand, that you loved her from the moment she drew her first breath, and will walk with her all the way through the course of her life. May this prayer quilt be a reminder of the incredible love of this church and their prayers and concerns for her. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Another way to respond to God's word in our midst is through the giving of our tithes and offerings. If this is your first Sunday with us, we're so glad to have you with us. Feel no obligation to give, but if this is becoming or has become your spiritual home, we invite you to give generously so that the ministries here at the church can continue. Also wanted to let you know that there's an opportunity to give. This is one of the special Sundays in the United Methodist Church to give to a cause called the Human Relations Sunday Special Offering. And this particular offering will go to support United Methodist churches in traditional Black, Hispanic, Latinx, Native American, and Asian congregations within the United Methodist Church as they continue to do justice work and community outreach. If you'd like to give, there are ways to give online. You can go on to our website and make a special contribution in support of Human Relations Sunday. Thank you so much for your incredible generosity and the ways in which your gifts continue to be a blessing, not only on this church, but also on the broader community.
As we leave this time of worship, may the love of God be with you. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ fill you. May the power of the Holy Spirit surround you, enabling you to go forth into this world to share God's love and to shine God's light. May this song from Mark Miller be our prayer today. Till all the jails are empty and all the bellies filled, till no one hurts or steals or lies and no more blood is shed. God has work for us to do. God has work for us to do. Till God's will is done and all things are made new. God has work for us to do. Come be a part of the work of following Christ, the work of loving our neighbor. Go in peace this day. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.